And it's been an experience of learning how little I knew when I thought I knew so much, and realizing that if I thought I knew a lot when I came here and I didn't know anything, it frightens me as to how much more I don't know now. I came out of the Missionary Baptist Seminary, Little Rock, and I was raised in Missionary Baptist churches, and I was taught Missionary Baptist doctrine. And I thought I knew what meat was. I certainly didn't think I was a fully mature Christian by any stretch of the imagination. I knew I had all kind of faults and flaws. But I thought I knew what meat was. And gradually, over the years, I've come to realize I really didn't know at all. I hope I do now. I hope what I've learned is at least has some meat and substance to it. What is milk and what is meat in the Word of God? Well, we're over in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, and I'm going to begin with verse 12. We're going to complete this chapter, hopefully tonight. And we're going to compare it with some other writers and different stages that a child of God goes through. And you have to go through milk to get to the meat. A baby is incapable of taking any type of nourishment when it's born except through milk. And eventually, as the baby grows older, it's able to take meat. And there's an awful lot of that by the writers of the New Testament. They put it in different ways. So I'm going to exposit on Hebrews chapter 5 verses 12, and I'm going to go right on through the 5th chapter and start in on the 6th chapter, because it's a running continuous narrative. What is milk and what is meat in his word? Hebrews 5:12. He says to the church of the Hebrews, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, he said, you've been members there long enough. You've been saved. You've been baptized. You've been part of the body long enough to be teachers of other people that come into the body. But he says, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, the truths of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now, he's not implying that they ever got to the point where they could take strong meat. That's not the implication here at all. What he's saying is that you've always had milk, and the state you're in now, you still can't take anything but milk. He doesn't mean that they ever had the ability to take strong meat. He's telling them, you never came up to that ability. You've been long enough as members of this church to be able to take and understand strong meat, but he said, you're still on the milk. This church has been here a long time. I've been pastor for 29 years. And even in my short tenure here, I've seen a lot of people join this church. And I've seen an awful lot of people that never got past the milk stage. As long as you'd preach salvation by grace, secure the believer, Jesus is coming, and some other things that I'm going to touch on later, they didn't mind coming here. They didn't mind it at all. You're a pretty nice bunch of people. Pretty easy to get along with. Nothing seemed to be wrong. Until I finally got old enough in the Word that I could put out a little meat. And when that happened, a lot of them left. I really didn't know why. Never had any hard words with any of them. But I think I've got a pretty good idea now. When you first get saved, you like milk. Imogene knows how much I love milk. She won't let me have it anymore. And I just look at that refrigerator every time I go by and wish there was some way they made milk that wasn't so detrimental to my health. Because I still love milk. And I still love the milk of the gospel. I love the milk of the gospel with the same intensity, even a greater intensity, than when I was first saved. Because I understand more about it. But this group had never really been able to take any strong meat. And you sure can't teach anybody else about it if you've never tasted of it yourself. When I came here, I'd never really tasted any strong meat. I really hadn't. Notice what Peter said in 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You've got to grow on milk. You don't have an option. When you get saved, you have to grow on milk because you can't take strong meat. Now tonight, I hope you'll make an effort to listen to this very carefully. And I realize I have a melodious voice, and it's very easy to drift off to sleep. But please tonight, stay awake, because this is something that I believe is extremely important for myself and for every one of you sitting here to understand. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You have to grow on milk. If so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. That's what milk does. It gives you the initial taste of Jesus Christ. The message I preached this morning, June said that Gary was moved by it. And he just almost cried. He did have tears in his eyes. The milk is a spiritual thing, and it makes emotions fester up inside you that are good emotions, which are the love that you have for Christ, and it wells up inside you how much you owe him and how much he loves you and how much he cares for you. And certainly, I love the milk of the gospel, and I love tasting, just experiencing just a little bit of the magnificence of God that's in Christ. I can't take more than a little. Hebrews 5:13. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracle of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now the next verse, Hebrews 5:13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Right there is one of the major things that's wrong with our churches today. The people get a steady diet of what I preached this morning. Should I have preached what I did this morning? You bet. God led me to preach it. I know it was the right thing to do. A lot of preachers learn very early, if you just preach messages about salvation by grace, secure the believer in Jesus coming, you won't have anybody in the church mad at you. And you can keep the people pacified and satisfied, and you can keep them on milk, and it's not too bad a deal. But a person that does that, I don't care if he's a God-called preacher, he's a babe. If that's all he knows, is salvation by grace, secure the believer in Jesus coming. He's a babe in Christ. And certainly that needs to be preached. It ought to be preached in every message in some way. Now take a look at 5:13, Hebrews 5:13. And let's look at 1 Peter 2 and 4. And let's examine how after you've tasted the Lord is gracious, what you're supposed to do to advance toward this meat. 1 Peter 2:4, following 1 Peter 2:2 and 3. To whom coming? It means that after you've tasted the graciousness of the Lord through the milk, you just keep on coming, and you keep on coming, and you keep on coming to Christ. The Greek words that are used here means to keep on coming. A lot of people keep on coming to Christ. They keep learning more about Him. They keep learning more about what He expects of them and how He wants to change and transform them. And God takes them along a path toward the day that they can take meat as a mature Christian, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Now take a look at Hebrews 5:14. Hebrews 5:13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Hebrews 5:14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even though who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now we're getting down to the nitty gritty. It says, who by reason of use, by reason of practice, if you believe in salvation by grace, secure the believer in Jesus' coming, that's good, that's wonderful, that's marvelous. But you're supposed to take that awareness, that knowledge, and you're supposed to keep on coming, and you're supposed to find out what God wants you to practice, and what God wants you to do, and what God's purpose for you is in life. And that's when most people drop out of church. They don't mind coming. They don't mind giving. They don't mind sitting there and listening. But when it comes to actually participating and doing what God wants and being a functioning part of the church, they don't want any part of it. But it's not just coming to church. It's practicing and putting in use what you've learned about Jesus Christ as you've kept on coming in your everyday walk of life. Now we've covered 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3, 2 and 4. Now let's look at 1 Peter 2 and 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up in spiritual house. That's the place God meant for you to be, but it just didn't mean for you to sit there like a bump on a log. God meant for you to become a functioning part of that body. Paul said, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. You need to learn how to behave yourself in God's house, in your conduct and your actions toward one another, in the practice of the ordinances that God gave, and you need to grow up and realize that this is obedience to God, this is worshiping God, this is putting to good use the discernment between good and between evil, and between what a false church is and what a true church is, what a real spiritual house is, what a holy priesthood is, and where you offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Well, I had advanced that far when I came here. And I've been taught about the church all my life. I was taught by my grandparents. I was taught by a lot of missionary Baptist preachers. And I knew what the scriptures taught about the church. And I thought, well, that's the meat. No, that's not the meat. I believed in salvation by grace. I believed in secure the believer. I believed baptism by immersion by the authority of the local church. I believed in the Lord's Supper as a closed ordinance of the church. I believed in secure the believer. I believed the church was local and visible and not universal and visible. And I thought that was meat. It's all true. Absolutely. But that's not me. It isn't. We've got a lot of churches with a lot of people in them. And this church believes in it. Salvation by grace, secure the believer, Jesus is coming. Baptism by immersion by the authority of the local church. The church is local and visible and not universal. The Lord's Supper is a closed ordinance of each local church. And I thought that that was meat. It isn't. That's just the first principle. That's just the things that we're supposed to believe. The people sit on these pews in local churches all over this country that are scriptural. And I say this reverently. They treat the pastor like dirt. They backbite. They say unkind words about other church members. They backbite. They snipe. They connive. They run off preachers. They split churches. They create an unholy hell in the midst of the church. And many of them shuffle from church to church and specialize in breaking churches up. And I know some of them quite well. And they believe in salvation by grace, security of the believer, baptism by immersion by the authority of the local church. Church is local and visible, not universal. And they practice the Lord's Supper as a closed ordinance of the church. And they're adamant about it. Brother, I've got a conviction. And I bow before God and say this reverently. And they're mean as hell. And they do things to one another and to other churches and to preachers you wouldn't believe. Which preachers do they do it to? The ones that come and try to give them meat. The ones that try to teach them that what matters is practicing what you believe. In your everyday walk of life. In that body where you live. It's not just knowing all those things. It's putting them into use. So what is meat? James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word. Let the word permeate into your heart, into your soul. Let it teach you how to love. Let it teach you how to hope, faith, and love as you practice all these things. Let it teach you to love the church that you know is local and visible. Let it teach you to have respect for the body itself by respecting the individual membership and by being kind toward one another. That's the meat. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We might have an excuse for not growing up to be mature Christians if we didn't have the completed New Testament. But in 1 Corinthians 13:9-10, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Everything was partial until God completed this book. Probably about 90% of this book is meat, and the other 10% is milk. And it's the meat we don't like, but we love the milk. But when that which is perfect, completed, the word of God is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. I don't have to stand up and have visions from heaven and prophesy what God says to you. I haven't been given the gift of knowledge so that I can tell you what God has put in my head to pass on to you. I have everything right there in that book. And about 90% of that book is meat. Now I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it very distinctly. This is the milk of the gospel. Here it is. Salvation by grace, security of the believer, Jesus is coming, baptism by immersion by the authority of the local church, the Lord's Supper, as a closed ordinance to the church is local and visible and not universal. That's pure old D milk. And it should be practiced. But how much effort does that require on your part? Just how much of a change does that require in your life? You can do that and not even be Christ-like. You can do that and be mean as a rattlesnake. You can be that and not be a functioning part of the church and be a detriment to the church. That's the milk. James 1:23. But if any be a doer of the word, a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Now we're getting to the meat. Now we're getting to what he talked about when he said that his word was able to divide like a sword between soul and body and spirit. Now we're getting down to where you look in here and you see yourself. You haven't added virtue to your faith. You haven't added knowledge to your faith. You haven't added control to your faith. You haven't added any of those seven things that Peter talked about. We've got our churches full of people that believe in salvation by grace, secure the believer, baptism by immersion, by the authority of the local church, the Lord's Supper is a closed door, the church is local and visible, and we've got a bunch of them that are mean as a pack of rattlesnakes and do more harm in the church than good. They know the milk, but the meat is when you begin to let God change your life. Yes, all that other is milk, but you can't get to the meat without going through the milk. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, in a mirror. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Our churches are filled with people who've never put away childish things. Yes, I laugh. I joke. I love life. And sometimes I'm too frivolous. But make no mistake about it. I'm extremely serious about all this. And I do try to practice in my life what the meat says I'm supposed to practice. Now let's take James 1:24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Our churches are full of spiritual dwarfs. The pastors are able to teach them salvation by grace, security of the believer. Jesus is coming. They're able to teach them that baptism should be by immersion, by the authority of the local church. They're able to teach them about John's baptism, how it differed from Christ's baptism. They're able to teach them all sorts of things. They're able to teach them about the first resurrection, about the second resurrection. They're able to teach them a whole row of doctrine and get them to believe it, but they won't accept the meat, and they won't change, and they won't grow in love, and they won't grow in hope, and they won't grow in faith. And you start preaching and teaching the word of God to them, it offends them, and they say, you preach too loud, you should do this, you should do that. They don't want to change. Now, they want everybody else to change to suit them. But they don't want to change. Well, what would you do if you were confronted with me and you didn't like it? I'd go to some church where I could get me a great big bottle full of milk and love every minute of it. And that's precisely what many do. Now take a look at 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see through a glass darkly. Before the Bible was completed, it was like looking in a mirror with part prophecies by visions, gift of knowledge, with men directly speaking God's word. And they knew in part, but once the Bible was completed, it cuts right to the chase. But then shall I know, even as also I am known. That's why I honestly believe that Paul, when he was in that final dungeon about to be beheaded, and John Mark, who was the one who had caused he and Barnabas so much trouble, he had completed his first gospel, and I believe that's why he asked Timothy, he asked, when he wrote to Ephesus, he said, bring John Mark with you and the books and the parchments. He wanted to see what John Mark had written. Paul was a man who wanted God to transform his life. That's what meat is. It's that section of the Bible that asks you, all right, now you've been saved. Now you've been obedient in baptism. Now you know the truth about what the church is. Now you know the truth about baptism. Now you know the truth about the Lord's Supper. Now you understand how I want you to worship me. Now let me change your mind and your heart and your life, and let me give you a reason for living, and let me work in you to change you to think like I do and to act like I do and to be like I am. You can't live above sin, but you can sure let God change and transform your life. And that's what church members don't want to do. James 1:25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's someone who understands the milk. And he wants to be a doer of the work. And he's anxious, or she's anxious, to please God. They're willing to give. They're willing to pray for one another. They're willing to acknowledge their faults to one another and to themselves. And they want God and His Spirit to help them to grow in faith, to be a better faith bearer for the Lord, to grow in hope in the Lord, and to grow in charity, in love in the Lord. Meat is when you change and are transformed and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I came here thinking I understood what meat was. I thought that if I taught you what the church was, what baptism should be, what the Lord's Supper should be, I thought if I taught you about salvation, about securing the believer, and the things of Christ's second coming, that I was giving you meat. I wasn't giving you meat. I just kept feeding you the same milk. And as I grew older, and by the grace of God, I came to realize what meat was. When I started putting that out, there were some people here that had been perfectly satisfied with the milk, but they sure didn't want the meat. And now by the faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now look at James 1:26, 27. You want to know what meat is? If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. If you can't control that tongue in being super critical of one another, and in backbiting one another, and in being unkind to one another, just how much good does it do you to know that salvation is by grace, that you can't lose your salvation, that Jesus is coming, and that baptism is by immersion by the authority of the local church, and the Lord's Supper closed doors to the church is local and visible. Just how much good does that do you? If you can't control that tongue and not say unkind things about one another and be super critical of one another and have a contentious spirit in God's church, just how much good does it do you? Here's what pure religion and undefiled before God is: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, those who are helpless, those who can't help themselves, those church members who seem to be all alone, those people who seem to have no support but are God's children, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Don't become a part of the world. become a growing spiritual lover of meat in God's church. Now, we started off in Hebrews chapter 5. We started off with verse 12. Now we come to chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, a continuous running narrative. No chapter divisions. And I'm going to prove to you that everything I just told you is true. Therefore, what's that a conclusion to? He told them back in Hebrews 5:12 that when they should be teachers, they were still babes in Christ. He told them they didn't understand anything except milk, and they never had come up to the meat. I told you that baptism by immersion by the authority of the local church, the Lord's Supper is a closed door to the church, the church is local and visible. I told you all these things are milk. Thank God for them, but they're milk. They're God's milk, and thank God for it. But they're not meat. Therefore, that's a conclusion to everything he said since Hebrews 5:12. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. What is the doctrine of Christ? Christ crucified at Calvary, bearing your sins in his own body on the tree, shedding his precious blood for you and giving his life for you, taking your sins in his own body on the tree, dying for you, carrying your sins forever, removing them from you to his grave, and being resurrected from the dead by your for your justification before God. That's the milk. The doctrine of Christ. That he's coming again. He says, I want you to leave that. He doesn't say, I want you to forget it. He says, I want you to build on it. I want you to go up. Build on it like a house. Let us go on into perfection. You can't live above sin. That means let us go on to maturity. A baby that grew to be 80 years old and never known anything but milk. What kind of an adult would that be? He says, I want you to grow up. Not laying again the principle, the foundation of repentance from dead works. How many times have you heard me quote Acts 20:21? Paul said, testifying both to the Jew and to the Greek, repentance toward God, repentance from dead works. Works that were never acceptable to God. Until you repented of your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord. He says, okay, you've got it. That's the milk. Here it is. And I said, I want you to go on and grow up. But then he tells you some other things that are milk. He said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. That's salvation of the doctrine of baptisms. How many times have you heard me teach about John's baptism, the baptism of repentance? How many times have you heard me teach about John baptizing all the disciples? How many times have you heard me teach about his baptism of John and how the church was formed? Jesus called it out. How many times have I taught you that? That's not meat. That's milk. Had a laying on of hands. That had to do with an ordination, something that the apostles did. I haven't taught you a whole lot on that, but it's milk too. And how many times have we talked about the second coming of Christ and the resurrection of the dead and what's called rapture? That's all milk. Salvation by grace, security of the believer. Jesus is coming. And of eternal judgment. How many times have you heard me preach on the judgment seat of Christ? All that's milk. All that's milk. Every bit of it. He said, now leave that. He didn't say forget it. He didn't say it wasn't the foundation. It is. But he said, grow up. So you know what the church is. In whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. That's great. You know what the church is. You know it's local and visible. You know it's not universal and visible. That's just great. You know it's the body of Christ. You know that each one of you is a part of it, like a hand, a head, a foot. Start acting like it. Start praying for one another. Start loving one another. Start caring for one another. Start giving what you should. Start being willing to work in it. Start making it a functioning part of your life. That's meat. It's not head knowledge. It's the head knowledge put in practice. He says, and this will we do if God permit. Why did he say if God permit? Because they might not live to do it. That's why. I'm 71. I didn't wake up till I was 38. And I didn't really get my eyes open until I was in my 60s. But they're open now. And I know what meat is. And whatever time I've got left, I want God to change me from what I am into what I ought to be. I want to be a better pastor to you. I want to be a better friend to the Lord. I want my life to count for something. Why should we be any different? That's what meat is. Well, how do you go on after you understand all these things? I understood what the church was when I was a boy. But I didn't grow to love it until I understood the importance of each part of it, each individual member, until I really learned to pray and have concern, spiritual concern, for each member of it, and to understand that I didn't have any power, but that God had the power. And in my actions toward each one of you, I've tried to learn not to be critical, not to say things about you behind your back, not to say one thing to your face and another behind your back. Why do you think they ran Chuck Trusty off from so many churches? Because he tried to feed them meat. They didn't want it. They knew about salvation. They knew about baptism. They knew about the Lord's Supper. They were choked with milk. But when you start trying to preach Christian living and living what you profess to believe, then the best thing to do is to get rid of the irritant that's preaching it to you and find some justification or excuse to run him off. I thank God he left me here, and I thank God you've grown enough to where I can stand up here and preach like this to you, where I can ask God to get you to realize the importance of a continual transformation in your attitude and his service until the day you draw your last breath. That's meat. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's meat. The attitude of Christ. Be willing to do what he did out of love for the church. Do you have the ability to do it? Same chapter, Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 3:13-14. You want to know what meat is? Take it from the man who in his last days talked a lot about it, the Apostle Paul. Philippians 3:13-15. Brethren, he said, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, I haven't reached out and grasped all the things that I was supposed to learn from God. I haven't let him make all the changes in my life that need to be made. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to do what he recommended. And I'm going to try to do it myself. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, whatever happened in your life before tonight, forget about it. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. We're a church. We know the milk of the word, and we thank God for it. It means a lot to us. But let's do what this says. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's do that as a body. Let's take some of this meat. Let's practice it. Let's pray for one another. Let's ask God to help us to have more faith in him, more hope in him, and more love for one another. Let's step out on faith and ask God for those things. And let's draw closer together as a church and have more concern for the welfare of the whole body. Let's be willing to work in the church and do the things that are necessary. That's what meat is. It sure wasn't what I thought it was when I came here. And it's considerably harder than I thought. But if God's working in you, the only thing that's stopping you is you not submitting to His will. Brother Kenneth Eubanks, would you dismiss us?
Heavenly Father, thank you.